Right, so here we are, good evening, just before Rosh Hashanah, shortly before Rosh Hashanah. And we have here a maimer, a discourse, which was said on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Mem Zayin, which is 1986. And it's called Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar. So let's just have a look at the verse Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar, which comes from Tehillim, Pei Aleph. Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar B'Kese LeYom Chageinu. Blow the shofar. Now, B'Chodesh. It's interesting to see how they attempt to translate this. You see, blow the shofar on the new month. Because we blow the shofar at the beginning of the month of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. So blow at the beginning of the new month, B'Chodesh, shofar, the shofar, B'Kese. Now, what exactly is Kese? L'Yom Chagenu. So here in the English it translates it on the designated day. However, one of the ways the sages explain the word kese is it means kisui, hidden, relating to the fact that on the first of Tishrei, when Rosh Hashanah is at the beginning of the month, the moon is hidden. There are festivals, usually we expect them to be, like Pesach and Shavuot, we expect them to be when the moon is full, on the 15th of the month, because we have lunar months. The 15th of the Hebrew month is always a full moon. However, Rosh Hashanah is on the first of the month, so that's when the moon is hidden. So that's one meaning of Keser. However, there is another Talmudic phrase about the word Keser, indicating that it means a time. So that's why the person translating these Tehillim, he translated it the designated time, on the day of our festival. So so that's a verse which, as it were, sets the theme of the discourse, and we will explore the discourse, the maimer, together, and Bezrat Hashem, with the maimer nigun. Oh, yo, 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 ya, ya, yo, 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 ya, 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 yo, bo, yo, ho, yo, bo, ya, ya, ba, yo, ba, ba, ya, 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 ba, yo, ya, ba, ba. Oh, ya, 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 blow on the new moon on the first day of the month, the shofar, Bakese, on the designated day of the day of our festival. And the previous Rebbe, Nesid Orenu, he explains in a discourse which also begins with the words Tiku. Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar, which was said in 1946. So that means 40 years before the discourse. We're looking at a discourse that was said in 1986, which is 23 years ago. And 40 years before that was the discourse said by the previous Rebbe. Lifnei Arba'im Shana, 40 years ago, the Acharei Arba'im Shana, Kai Enesh Adate de Rabbi. There is a saying in the Talmud that after 40 years, a person understands his teacher. So this comes from a comment in the Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu expresses the idea that now people really understand what he is trying to communicate to them. So there's that concept that after 40 years, a person understands what his Rebbe is teaching him. The Amru Hazal, the sages said, this is what he says in the discourse of 40 years previously. The Amru Hazal ala Pasuk, the sages said on the verse, Ezehu Chag, which is the festival, Shahachodesh Mitkasebo, in which, now here the word Chodesh means moon, in which the moon is hidden, Havyomer, you must say, Ze Rosh Hashanah. That's Rosh Hashanah. The Bekeser, because the word Keser, who case hay, is the hiddenness of hay. And the letter hay, right, we've got Kof Samach, which represents hiding, like a root, so meaning hidden. And the letter hay, now this hay, Kai al Sfirat Malchut. The letter hay represents the Sfira Malchut, kingship, which is the source of life force for the world. There are the highest Sfira beyond the world, and then we have the Sfira Malchut, which is the quality which gives life and existence to the world. V'chas, and the word chas, or keser, inyano kisui, it suggests hiding, covering, being covered. V'rosh Hashanah nikra keser, and Rosh Hashanah is called keser, lefi, because, sheb'rosh Hashanah, because on Rosh Hashanah, Sfirat HaMalchut mitkasit, the Sfira Malchut, the Sfira kingship, the tenth Sfira, mitkaset is hidden, umitalemet is concealed, behelem atzmi, with an ultimate kind of concealment. So there is a concealment of the life force flowing into the world. Now this is a key concept of the nature of Rosh Hashanah, which is explained in Tanya, in the fourth section of Tanya, chapter 14, where it talks about the way that there is a flow of life force coming from Hashem into the world, like a stream of energy. And that stream of energy is cyclic in nature. And so it flows through the year, and then it somehow withdraws, comes to the end of the cycle, and it draws back to its source. And that's Rosh Hashanah. And it's as if the life force is at that point hidden. And then through the tefillot and the tkiyat shofar, through the prayers and the blowing of the shofar, the energy is a new burst of energy, which comes from a higher level than any before, flows back into the world. So this concept of the hiddenness of Malchut can also be understood in these terms of the hiddenness of the flow and channel of life force coming into the world. V'ulai yesh lohosif, it says in brackets, and perhaps we can add, ha-kesher le'inyan chag sha-chodesh mitkase bo b'pashtut, the connection to the idea of a festival on which the moon is hidden, in simple terms, the chodesh b'pashtut hi alavana. When it says chodesh, in simple terms, in the pshat, it means the moon. V'noda sha-alavana hi sfirat ha-malchut. And it's known that the moon is, or represents, the sfira malchut. So it's interesting. Instead of looking at the sort of practical reality, like, as I explained it at the beginning, that Rosh Hashanah is the festival when the moon is hidden, right? Well, what is the festival, as the Talmud says, what is the festival when the moon is hidden? That's the festival of Rosh Hashanah. The Rebbe explained it the other way around. It's not that the moon is hidden. It's that the Sfira Malchut is hidden. So the Sfira Malchut, that's represented by the moon. So you come from the spiritual reality, the inner reality, to the outer manifestation. It's a question of what you're looking at. We tend to look at the outer manifestation. It's like the difference between a doctor and an ordinary person looking, you know, let's say the person has spots on their skin. So to the ordinary person, oh, they've got spots on their skin. That's what's bothering them. To the doctor, he sees some dietary imbalance. He sees inside the person And that shows itself as spots on their skin. But the for him, the reality is not the spots. It's something deeper. So the same with us. So we see the moon, and so we see the moon is hidden. Whereas the way the Rebbe is explaining it, it's the Sphira Malchut which is hidden. And because the Sphira Malchut is hidden, so the Sphira Malchut is hidden, and as a result, the moon is hidden. Okay. V'lachein, three lines from the end of that paragraph. V'lachein hine ika avodat Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, the main service on Rosh Hashanah, Kabbalistically, hu binyan Sfirat HaMalchut, is the building of the Sfira Malchut. The attribute of kingship, that attribute of God has to be, so to speak, built. That's the phrase in Lurianic writings. Kamaima Razal, as the sages say, Imru lefanai malchiyot, say before me verses of kingship. Kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, so that you should make me rule over you. Now, this is very interesting, drawing together of different images about Rosh Hashanah. See, a central concept of Rosh Hashanah is, of course, that God is judging the world. So God is judging the world, who will live, God forbid the opposite, as we say in the Piyut Unetane Tokef, very moving Piyut, Mi ba'esh, mi ba'mayim, yes, very moving words, who with fire, who with water. Now that sense, and so therefore we have honey to express the idea that God should give us a sweet year. We dip the challah in the honey, we have apple dipped in honey, all kinds of sweet foods, wishing each other a good year, a sweet year, happy new year. So God is judging. So one can focus on that aspect of God judging the individual, God judging the Jewish people, the world. Then, what does it mean God is judging? God is judging because God is king. So in fact, what is happening on Rosh Hashanah is that we are re-accepting the kingship of God on us. And we are establishing, re-establishing God's relationship with the universe. It's putting it in a slightly different way. We are re-establishing God's relationship with the universe because this is the beginning of creation. In fact, it's not the first day of creation, according to Jewish tradition. The Jewish history of the world is that the world was the the beginning of existence in terms of a physical world. Yihi Or, God said, let there be light, was yesterday. Yesterday was the 25th of Elul, and that was the first day of creation. Today is already the second day of creation. Yihi Rakia b'toch hamayim. And then by the time we get to Rosh Hashanah, which this year will be on Shabbat, that's the sixth day of creation. That's when Adam and Chava, when Adam and Eve were created. When Adam and Eve were created, they then said to all existence around them, Bo v'nishtachavek, come let us bow down to God who created us. And there was that moment of recognition of God, and of hamlacha, of recognizing the kingship of God. And that's what's being celebrated now, this Rosh Hashanah, that 5,770 years later, again, we are about to recognize the kingship of God. And it's almost as if we have a role in the continued relationship of God with the universe and the continuation of the universe because of our recognition of God as King. That God is connected with the world and He is the King of the world, as when Adam and Chava, they looked at the world around them and they knew that everything comes from God, and they wanted the world, the animals, the birds, the fish, maybe the wind and the trees and the grasses, everything, to recognize the kingship of God. So that sense of hamlacha. So there, the sages tell us that what we are doing on Rosh Hashanah is shetamlichuni aleichem. We are making God king over us, and the way we do it is by saying psukim of Malchiyot. And in fact, at the end of this pack of material, you have at the very end, we have where it says page 286. Now, this is just printed from a machzor, and here we have the 10 psukim. V'ne'ma lo hibit aven b'Yaakov, lo ra'am al b'Yisrael, Hashem elokav imo, truat melech bo. So the God didn't see iniquity in Jacob, he didn't see anything bad about Israel. Hashem elokav is with him, Hashem is God is with him, and the shofar blowing of the king is with him. Then another verse, Vayihi Bishulun Melech, God was king among the Jewish people. And then further verses, 10 verses, one after the other. It actually ends up with the verse, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, because that is also regarded as a verse of the kingship of God. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one, is an expression of the kingship of God. And then follows, all this is in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the long Musaf, the longest Amida prayer in the Jewish year, even longer than on Yom Kippur. And then we have this bracha at the end, this long bracha, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu, our God and the God of our fathers. You got this, page 287. Melocha la'olam kulo b'chvodech, rule over the whole world in your glory. That's it's a tremendously powerful statement. Ve'yeda kol pa'ul, let everything existing know ki atafa al tov, that you made it exist. Ve'yavin kol yitzur, everything which has been formed, let it know ki ata yitzachto, that you formed it. Ve'yoma kol Hashem neshama ba'apo, everything which has breath in its nostrils, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, Hashem God of Israel is King, u'malchuto b'kol mashalach, and His kingship rules over everything. So that is the mood of Rosh Hashanah, establishing God's kingship. And of course, the way in which we establish God's kingship is, as it were, by pledging ourselves to God. We are your subjects. You are our king, and we are your subjects, and we are going to do what you tell us to do. So that sense of Kabbalat or Malchut Shamayim, accepting the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, that's the tenua, that's the inner movement that takes place within us in order to relate to God and to express the kingship of God. Now then we have the last line of this first paragraph. וכדי להמשיך בחינת המלכות. And in order to draw down, to manifest this quality of Malchut,
who are you? What, sorry? להמשיך ב...
בחינת.
בחינת.
Yes. In order to draw down the quality of Malchut, who al yedei tkiyat shofar, is through blowing the shofar, or kumo shekatuv, as it says, tiku b'chodesh shofar, which is the verse we began with, blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Now this idea of Hamshachat Malchut is very interesting. One of the ways that this is compared, Lahavdil Elef Havdalot, to a human being, to the processes within a human being, that in order to manifest a certain quality within a person, you speak about that quality in order to bring that quality out. You have a person who's facing a situation where they need some kind of inner quality that they have, and the person who's with them saying, yes, you can do it, you can, you know, if it's a long jump, you know, can you do that, whatever the world record long jump is at the moment. What is it? 5 meters? 6 meters? 8 meters? I don't know. When I was young, it was much less than it is now.
Probably nearly 10.
10 meters. Nine, right. So, you know, you can do it. The whole idea of a coach, you know, you can do it. The coach brings out of the person the quality that, left to himself, he'll think he can't do it. But the coach brings it out. Yes. Lahavdil Elef Havdalot. It's as if the relationship of the Jewish people to God is such that by us saying tefillot to God and saying these psukim, because haneshama shel Yehudi mushreshet ba'atzmuto yitbarach, because of the special connection between the soul and the infinite godliness, by saying these words of tefillot, of prayers, we draw out into manifestation this quality of malchut. Because the way in which the Kabbalah describes it is almost as if there's a sense of tension that, so you have Ein Sof, you have the infinite, and somehow there has been a manifestation of different levels of existence flowing down, and then we have Malchut, the quality of kingship. And then we have lower down the world, which is a kind of sort of a problematic realm. And in order for Malchut to have a connection with the world is really quite almost a difficult situation, because the world is Malei Klipot, there are negative forces there, and the words Ragleya Yordot Mavet, her feet go down to death, from Mishle, from this quality of somehow this sort of negative situation almost, because the world at the moment, it's not a world which is really obeying God. The world is a chaotic world, and for Malchut to be expressed in this world is in a sense uncomfortable. In fact, Malchut is in a state of exile. The quality of kingship is in a state of exile in the world. So there is a tendency for Malchut to somehow be concealed above, and not only Malchut, but these Svirot, which are called Ze'er Ampin. Ze'er Ampin. Right, if we translate it into English, it's the small visage compared with Arich Ampin, which is at the level of Keser. So the point is, Er Ampin is the name given by Rabbi Yitzchak Luria to these Svirot coming down over here, Chesed, kindness, severity, etc., coming down towards Malchut. Now, the point is, although they are supposed to meet with Malchut, there is a tendency of Ze'er Ampin to retreat backwards. So it's almost as if the tendency of the divine is to be hidden. The tendency of the divine is to be hidden. Because that is the natural state, you could say, in terms of creation. God hides in order that there should be creation. And for godliness to be revealed in creation, if godliness is really revealed in creation, that's wonderful. Like it was at the very beginning of creation. There was the Shekhinah, the divine presence, Malchut, to Malchuto Yitbarach, God's kingship, together with Adam v'Chava, together with Adam and Eve in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. It was beautiful. And then they did something wrong. They ate from the tree of knowledge. And the effect of that, the fact of doing something against Rotzono Yitbarach, against God's will, meant that the Shekhinah departed from being on ground level. It departed to the first Rukiyah, the first firmament. And then Cain killed Abel, Cain killed Heva. And as a result of that, it departed even further. So therefore, the ugliness of the world makes the presence of the divine withdraw. And then comes the process of trying to draw back the divine, that it should come back into the world, and it should be here. And so that's the drawing back, and that in somehow Malchut should be revealed. And the exact imagery, the way it puts it in a very striking way in Kabbalat Arizal, which is described in Hasidic texts as well, is that Zeh Amfin and Malchut, they're male and female, and they are like back to back. They are not separate. It's a little bit like the creation of Adam and Eve right at the beginning of creation. And the Nesirah means the separation, is the separating of Malchut from Zeh Amfin, and becoming, as it were, a separate entity, not really separate, of course, we're talking here about spiritual dimensions, but an aspect of the divine that is Shochen, which dwells in the worlds, and even in the physical world. Shochenet dwells here in the physical world as the Shekhinah, and that Zeh Amfin should connect with Malchut, and there should be a flow of spiritual life force into Malchut and then into the world, which should become a realm of holiness through that process. So we, Am Yisrael, we are somehow in this picture as the we sort of exist over here trying to join kingship, godliness to the world, and it's our tefillot and our saying of the psukim of Malchiyot and so on. We are the ones in our Bate Knesiot, in our synagogues, or in a farmhouse somewhere in the middle of nowhere, praying to the divine on Rosh Hashanah, and bringing about this transformation through the tefillot and through the blowing of the shofar. So that's what we are trying to do, is reveal Malchut, reveal the kingship of God. In a sense, we are mirroring the action of Adam and Chava, of bringing together all of existence and focusing on the presence of the divine and saying, Bo nishtachaveh, come, let us bow down to God and recognize God as King. So that's what's from the point of view of Kitvei Arizal, the writings of Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, which means not his own writing, but Rabbi Chaim Vital, his dedicated disciple, what he wrote down in his Eight Gates, Shmona Sha'arim, and Eitz Chaim, the Tree of Life. These are the ideas which is then put in Pri Eitz Chaim, which is about the cycle of the Jewish year and the festivals and the daily prayers, so that we're able to understand this process taking place. So therefore, there we are, trying to express, through the blowing of the shofar and the saying of the psukim of Malchiyut, to reveal the kingship of God. We are actually affecting this realm of Sfirot, and blowing the shofar is part of it. The prayers and the blowing of the shofar. Okay, second paragraph. V'hine yadua diuk morenu habal shem tov. Now it's known a point that our teacher, the Baal Shem Tov, says, which is recorded in the book Keter Shem Tov. Now Keter Shem Tov is really a likut. It's a collection from a number of other earlier published books. Keter Shem Tov was published in 1790-something, I think 1795. And before then, there had been a number of books published collecting the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov in different ways, such as in the Drashot, in the complicated and very scholarly teachings of Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Bolonoya. So someone went through these previously published works and collected together any little saying that it has from the Baal Shem Tov, and it makes a very profound work, Keter Shem Tov. Warmly to be recommended. Now, so in Keter Shem Tov, it's a thin book. No. In Keter Shem Tov, it says, "Bepasuk zeh," about this verse. Now look at this abbreviation. Dahave leile meima. This is Talmudic or Midrashic, quite common abbreviation. It should have said, you would have expected it to say, Dahava leile meima. Dahava, Shahaya lo lamar. Shahaya lo lomar. It should have said, Tiku shofar b'chodesh, blow the shofar on the new moon. If the pasuk is telling us when to blow the shofar on the new moon. Why does it say blow on the new moon the shofar, which sounds slightly awkward? Upiresh b'zeh Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov explained about this, Ki yireh ha'adam tadir. A person should always see, Sheyeh b'chodesh, that he should be with the quality of chodesh. What does it mean, chodesh? Chotzaloma, that means, Lechadesh ma'asim tovim. New. The concept of new. It should always be new. A person should always feel that the good things he's doing, they're new, and he should do new good things. Shelo yeh kmo chok kavua. It shouldn't be like a fixed statute, a fixed law. Oh, here comes Rosh Hashanah again. Here comes Shacharit again. Get up, put on tefillin. It should be like a new, exciting thing, as if absolutely, it's a new experience. You know, when we wake up in the morning, it says in the Siddur, one should say, Moda ani lefanecha, melechai bekayim, shehechazata bin nishmati bechemla, rabba emunatecha. Right? I thank you, God, that, I thank you, O God, the King who lives and exists, that you've given me back my soul. And then it says the words, Rabbai Munatecha, great is your faithfulness. Now the words, great is your faithfulness, comes from a pasuk, Chadashim labkarim, Rabbai Munatecha. New things in the morning, great is your faithfulness. In other words, every morning is utterly new. God is so faithful that he makes a new morning for us. We might have thought the sun set last night or a few hours ago. God forbid, who says it's going to rise again? But God faithfully makes the sun rise, and what that means is it's a new day. Anayatov, Yom Chadash. It's a new day, it's a new burst of spiritual energy, it's a new moment in existence which has never been there before. In fact, that whole idea about the flow of life force into the world that is renewed on Rosh Hashanah, it goes further on and explains that in fact that's the annual cycle, and then there's monthly and weekly, and then every day there is a cycle of life force. So every day, and in fact even every hour, is a new burst of life force. So there's a sense of constant rejuvenation, a sense of constant newness. And so when we say to Hashem, Rabbai Monatecha, great is your faithfulness, it's because we recognize Chadashim Labakarim, the Boker, the morning is new. It's a new thing. And so the Baal Shem Tov is saying that everything that we do should have that quality of newness, of freshness. It's something new. Not a routine, not a ritual, but a new experience, something exciting. V'yesh lefarish hadavah, and one can expect, this is the sort of the naivete which can be sought for when one has gone through many different things. It's interesting. You see, a child, a young child, a five-year-old, or even younger, a toddler, like a three-year-old, you know, running up and down the room. There's a sense that everything is new for a little child. It's a very exciting perspective on life. And it's all new, it's all beautiful, it's all, you know, here's a new this, here's a sweet, sweet, you know. And if they don't have that new thing, then that's terribly upsetting, and they cry. It's because everything matters very much. It all matters very much. You know? So, then we get older. And we become blasé. We become blasé about this and blasé about that. And things, you know, in order to get any kind of excitement, we have to do the most ridiculous... yes, that's right. Jumping through hoops in different ways. But to achieve again that simplicity, that naivete, that's a spiritual goal. And I'm reminded of a friend of mine many, many years ago, whom I unfortunately lost touch with. But at that point, he was learning to be a concert pianist. And... he was very, obviously very sophisticated as, you know, as a young man, had studied music, you know, in all kinds of music conservatories and so on. And now he was preparing for a concert here in London. He was an American. He'd come to London in order to put on a public concert. And he had a music teacher, a little old Hungarian lady. He was a pianist, and so his piano teacher. A little old Hungarian lady, and she was trying to teach him how to play a Bartok rondo, which is a simple but deep piece of music. She said to him, imagine that you don't know anything about music. Imagine that you don't know how to play the piano, and just play like a child. You know, so she was trying to engender in him this sort of simplicity of approach. You could say that was an approach that was suitable for that piece of music. If he was playing a piece of Mozart, then it wouldn't have been so simple. However, there is a sense in which the immediacy within a person, there is a tremendous life force within us. And if we can tap that life force, then it flows with a newness and an excitement, and everything around us is new, and it sees the beauty in everything. And so it's as if we are trying to tap that spiritual energy inside us, because what happens is the animal soul gets bored. See, the animal soul is very interesting. A Hasidic friend of mine, the son of this gentleman here, Rabbi Mendel Fudafas, whose picture is on the wall, his son is Rebbe Fudafas, Zolzayin Gazon, lives in New York now. He once said to me, it's very interesting. Young calves dance around. You see little calves in the fields. They skip around, they run, they jump. Old oxen stand still. The animal soul, when it's young, it's got chayas, it's got life force, and when it gets a bit older, it's just standing still, wants to eat some grass. Has no. The thing is to be always young, even the animal soul. However, the divine soul is always young. I'm extrapolating from his comment. He didn't give any solution. You know, he just said it's an interesting observation. But the divine soul is always young, is always youthful. If we can tap into the divine soul a little bit, then it's always fresh and it's always young. And you know what? We can reach that level of the animal soul, which is also always young. eternal youth. So that's the eternal youth, the eternal excitement. Everything is always new. Third line in the middle. V'yesh lefaresh hadavar, one can explain this. So in other words, the saying of the Baal Shem Tov, you know, the thing about Keter Shem Tov, this collection of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, for the most part, they're very brief teachings. So it's a few lines long, half a page, something like that. V'yesh lefaresh hadavar, one can explain this as follows. D'mikiven shepasuk zeh ka'i b'inyan yikhi u'klali. Since this verse, tiku b'chol eshofa, since this verse, blow the shofar, is talking about something essential and general, inyan Rosh Hashanah, the idea of Rosh Hashanah, inyan tamlichuni aleichem, and the idea of making God king over us, lefichach, therefore, yesh bo hara'a ikarit uchlalit, it therefore has an essential and general teaching, ba'avodah klalit, for the general service to chol echad v'achad m'Yisrael, of every single Jewish man and woman, not only for Rosh Hashanah, for every day of the year, shetzicha liyot ha'avodah, the service of God has to be ba'ofan shel chidush, in a way of something new. Shebechol pam uvechol rega, every time, every moment, uvechol davar v'davar she'oseh, every single thing the person does, Ya'aser kumo davar chadash mamash. He should do it as an absolutely new thing. That's then v'olai in the brackets. V'olai yesh lo sif v'zeod. Perhaps one can add another point. Dezer gam diuk l'shon tiku. That's also another level of meaning in the word blow the shofar. Tiku gam meloshon chosek v'tokev. The word taka can also mean something which is strong and powerful. Sheyitka atzmo b'chosek, that he fixes himself strongly v'tokev hachi gadol, with great strength, bli shum shinuyim, without being dislodged, ba'avodato, in his service of God, ad shetokeh atzmo ba'ofan nitzchi, till this bond that he has in this relationship with God has an eternal quality. And when it's eternal, dal yedezeh, through that kol rega me'avodato, every moment of his servant, of his service, hu davar chadash, is new. Now, that line and a half is the most fascinating concept, that the power of deep constancy, which unfortunately in the world around us, constancy is misunderstood, but let's take it the way the discourse looks at it, the power of a deep constancy is such that it reaches a level which is so powerful in its bond that it's eternally new. It's always a new thing. That bond is something which is eternally a new thing. Now, our society has unfortunately, in a way, lost the knack of constancy. And so therefore the pursuit of the new is that it always has to be something, you know, like literally like another this, another that. And they're unable, or they seem to be unable, to discover newness in a constant way. And so therefore the kind of new, it's really not new, it's novel. It's a novelty. There's a difference between a novelty and something which is really new. A novelty is just, you know, so it's another this, another that, it's not really new. But genuine newness, if you imagine in a relationship between husband and wife, such a powerful bond with the help of Hashem between them, that forever this bond is a sense of newness, of delight, of simcha, of joy, that bond together. And it comes from a depth in the relationship, Be'ezrat Hashem. And that's really a spiritual thing granted from God, and yet one has to work at it as well. And certainly also in our relationship with Hashem, there is a constant excitement in the person's relationship with Hashem. It's coming to Rosh Hashanah, it's coming to Shabbat Bereshit, it's coming to this, it's coming to that. We are experiencing a new thing, we are reading this chapter in the Rambam, in the Chumash, in this or that. These cycles of page in the Talmud, it's all exciting. It's all new and it's all exciting because of a sense, and what he's saying here, because of a sense of bonding. The bonding reaches down to a level which is always new. It's as if within us, that you dig down into the earth and you reach the spring which is always flowing. You can have a puddle on the street, but that puddle will dry up when the sun shines. But deep down, there is a spring of water which is always there. And so if we can litkoa, if we can get deep enough down, that's tikiat shofar, the digging of the shofar. The shofar digging into our soul to a point, and digging into godliness to the point that we are able to bond in this eternally new way. And through this we can explain what is written in the previous paragraph there in the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, because what it says there in Keter Shem Tov, it speaks about a miracle. The Inyan HaNes, the idea of a miracle, who shenitchadesh hadava b'fam harishona, is the thing is a new thing for the first time. The Yam Suf, the Red Sea split. Well, if it did it once, it's a miracle. If it did it every day, it would be in Moore's Almanac. Have you ever encountered Moore's Almanac? Moore's Almanac is like a thing, I think sailors use it. It tells all the tides and, you know, all the... annual weather, different things that happen around the, particularly the British Isles, I think. I'm not sure how far it goes. But Moore's Almanac has, when it's high tide and so on. So if the Yam Suf split every day, so it would be, children would have to learn in school about the splitting of the Red Sea every day, the daily splitting of the Red Sea. But if it does it only once, it's a miracle. It's a chidush. Yes, so that's... That's right. Thank you. When it comes again, when the miracle happens a second time and a third and a fourth, then it's called nature. That means really, hakolness. Everything is a miracle. The sun rising is a miracle. The sun setting is a miracle. I call mess. Everything is a miracle. And one can connect this with another teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. Shukol davar sheba'olam, that every single thing in the world nitchadesh b'chol rega. Every single thing in the world is renewed at every moment. Uma shenikra b'shem teva, and that which is called nature, hu rak mishum sheitchadshut kvar hayta lifnei zeh. It's because it already was there and it already had that renewal, and now again it's having a renewal. It's not the first time it's being renewed. So, but this chair, yes, this stool exists because there's a flow of divine energy making it exist. The Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, was once at a table, and there was on the table was like a Fabrengen, I assume, a Hasidic gathering, and there was a plate with fish. Herring, presumably. And the Rebbe Rashab said, "Das is nicht fish. This isn't fish. Das is Dvar Hashem. This is the word of God, Vazogt, which is saying, du soll sein fish. You should be fish." So in other words, it's a divine energy. The word of God saying, you should be fish. And so the fish is sitting there, but it's actually an expression of that divine energy. And the same with everything all the way around us. ועל ידי התבוננות בעניין זה גופה, and through thinking about this itself, deeply thinking, מה שבאמת הכל נס, the fact that actually everything is miraculous, ודבר חדש, and everything is new, הרי זה נותן כוח, this gives power and force לכל עניין בעבודה in every aspect of a person's service of God, שיעשהו, that he should do it or she should do it באופן של דבר חדש ממש, in a completely new way, in the way that this is something new. Now, when a rabbi tells us something, there's two things. You know, on the one hand, he's quoting from a book that was printed in 1795 or thereabouts. And a person might say, oh, well, you know, like these ideas, they're very good for the Baal Shem Tov or the people of the Baal Shem Tov's generation when somehow people were more genuinely more naive. Maybe they didn't have the modernistic malaise of modernity to the same extent, at least not in Eastern Europe. In Western Europe, yes, but they'd already seen the terrors of the French Revolution. The dream of the Enlightenment had turned into the terror of the Revolution by 1795. But when the Rebbe puts it in a maimer, which he's giving to us as a kind of personal guidance, for us it means it's netinat koach. It's giving us the ability, it's a helping hand, that we should be able to see things in a new way. We should be able to tap this sense of newness. All right, let's move on to the second paragraph, which is on page Ayin. Okay. Third paragraph on page Ayin. And he continues, that means the previous Rebbe continues in his Maimah of 1946, Sham, that the word Keser, as well as meaning hidden, it also means time. And in footnote 10, he points out that Rashi in Tehillim says there that it means time, and that's why our translator said the appointed day. And in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Vav Amud Bet, it also, in the Gemara there, it explains the word keser as meaning a specific time. The Yeshno Zmanu Moed Mugbal, that there's a particular time, a specific time, Lahamshich Bchinat HaMalchut, to draw down the quality of kingship, to express this, to reveal this kingship of God. And one can explain the connection of this idea, Keser Loshon Zmanu Moed, the idea that Keser means a time. Linyan Rosh Hashanah, to the theme of Rosh Hashanah, Al Pitorot HaRav HaMagid HaYadua, according to the well-known teaching of the Mezritcha Magid, the second leader of Hasidism. Let's miss out the brackets. Shahazman hu nivra. Time is a created thing. Now, that's a very interesting observation by the Hasidic teachers of the 18th and early 19th century. That time is created. The way we understand time now, following Einstein and the connection of time with matter, with energy, we also see time is it's not just an imaginary concept. It actually is part of the reality of the physical world in which we live. And so is this Hasidic Kabbalistic teaching, that time is created. And in fact, time is a function of Malchut. That's the idea, that Malchut is symbolized by the moon, because the moon has got time. The moon has got the beginning, and then the middle, and then the end. So that's the idea of time. And that, whereas at a higher level among the Sfirot, there isn't time in that way. One might talk about Seder, order. A is followed by B is followed by C. And then there's another level where you don't even have order, where everything is at one go, that you can't distinguish. So there are different steps, different levels, but it's when you have Malchut, Malchuto Yidbarach means the kingship of God. And with the kingship of God, suddenly time emerges, and not only time, but place. Hashem Melech, Hashem is king. Hashem Malach, Hashem was king. V'Hashem Yimloch, and Hashem will be king. Where? Over this world. Or maybe over Jerusalem. Or in the temple. And it says, the sages tell us now, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God only has in this world of Galut, Eila Arba Amot Shel Halacha Bilvat. God only has the four cubits of Halacha. It's Agadah in the Talmud, and the Rambam explains it in a very beautiful way in his introduction to his Perush al HaMishnayot. In the introduction to his commentary on the Mishnayot, he says the Agadah has a lot of meaning, and I'm going to explain one Agadah to you in order to understand. So that's the idea that God's reign is over a certain place, ideally the whole world, the whole universe. Of course it is, but it should be in a visible way. And it's past, present, and future. So time and place emerge from Malchut. Higher than Malchut, you don't have that concept. So the concept that time is created. Umizem Uvan, that's the fifth line down, in the middle, and from this we understand. The Kashem Shebarosh Hashanah Nif'al Chidush Bebriyat Kol HaAlam. Just as on Rosh Hashanah there's something new which is achieved in the creation of the whole world. Kamayim, as it says, Zeh Hayom Tchilat Ma'asecha. This is the day which is the beginning of your works. Zikaron Yom Rishon, a memory, a memorial of the first day. Al Derech Zeh Harei B'Rosh Hashanah. Similarly, on Rosh Hashanah, he itchadshut klalut briyat gidrei hazman v'amakom umetziutam. On Rosh Hashanah is a renewal of the general creation of the concept of time and place and their existence. Very powerful words. Itchadshut klalut briyat gidrei hazman v'amakom umetziutam. It is a renewal of the very parameters of existence in time and place. Shaharei zman u'makom hem gidrei ha'olam, because time and place, they are the parameters of the world. They are the defining features of existence. And it gives a reference to a chapter in Tanya in order to clarify that. Va'inyan hu, and the subject is as follows: Dehine yedua hadiyuk v'likutei Torah. It's known, the point that is focused on in books like Likutei Torah. Shaharei b'chav hei elul nivra olam. The world was actually created on the 25th of Elul, which was yesterday. Uborosh Hashanah hu yom shishi lemaseh bereshit, and Rosh Hashanah is the sixth day of the work of creation. Yom Briyat Adam HaRishon, the day when Adam and Eve were created. Umahu zeh hayom tchilat ma'asecha. Why do we have these words? This is the day, the beginning of your work. Zikaron lo yom rishon, a memory of the first day. Why? This is in the liturgy. This is in what we say in the repetition of the Musaf, or in the Musaf. Why do we have these words that it's the beginning? It wasn't the beginning, it's the sixth day. Umavua Bazen, it explains about this, the Hagam Shebriyat Kol HaAlam Kolo, even though the creation of the whole world, Haita Berega Rishon D'Sheshit Yimei Bereshit, was in fact on the first moment of the first day of the 6 days of creation. Kamosha Katuv, as it says, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz, in the beginning God created heaven and earth all at once. V'kol shekein b'kal v'chomo sh'az nivru gidrei hazman v'amakom u'metziutam, And therefore, certainly, then were created the parameters, the dimensions of time and place and their existence. Mikol makom, nonetheless, shleimut habriya, the fullness of creation, hayta dafka b'yom shishi lemaaseh bereishit, was specifically on the sixth day of creation, yom riyat ha'adam, on the day of the creation of man. V'lachin dafka yom zeh, and therefore it is this sixth day which is nikcha tchilat ma'asecha v'zikaron liyom rishon. This is the real beginning. The real beginning is when man is there. Because man is the one, Adam and Chava, they are the one that connect the world to God. They are the ones who say, bo v'nishtachaveh, come, existence, recognize your creator. And see him as your king. So that ability to see God as king, that is the real first day. And from this we can understand why the day is called just Keser, Shu's Banamoed, which means a specific time. Ki hagam shitavut gidrei hazman v'hamakom umetziyotam. Even though the existence of the dimensions of time and place and their existence were in the first moment, on the first day, mikol makom, nonetheless, beyom ze dafka, on this sixth day, when Adam and Eve are created, hu shleimut hitavut geder umetziyot hazman v'hamakom, of the real, of the creation, of the dimensions of time and place. Mishum shezeh yom briyat Adam HaRishon, because that's when Adam was created. The Adam HaRishon pa'al shleimut, because Adam and Eve, they achieved a wholeness, b'chol ha'briya, in the whole of existence, the whole of creation. Al yedei hamshachat elokut, through drawing down godliness, malchuto yitbarach, divine godliness, divine kingship, bebriya, in creation. Dezer ma shenikra Adam. That's why he is called Adam, al shem Adame le'elyon. I will be like that which is above. He has the relationship with the divine. Shehimshich elokuto yitbarach lemata. He drew godliness down below, la'asot lo yilbarach dira b'tachtonim, to make for him a dwelling in the lower world, b'gidrei hazman u'makom, in the realm of time and of place. So that is what Adam was doing on the first day of creation. We'll just read this next paragraph, it's got late. V'hinei k'shem shayazeh b'fam harishona, just as it was like this on the first time, Shadam Rishon Pa'al Az Shleimut B'chol HaBriya, that Adam achieved wholeness, and Eve, they achieved wholeness in the whole of existence, the whole of creation, Kolel B'inyan Hazman, including the concept of time, everything became a part of the expression of God's kingship, Al Derech Zeu B'chol Shana V'Shana. So it is every single year. Al yedei avodat kol echad v'echad miYisrael, through the service of every individual Jew, hanikra gam ken Adam al shem Adam el Elyon, who is also called Adam through this quality of having this special relationship with the divine, v'haynu shekol echad v'echad miYisrael, every single Jew, al yedei avodato, through his or her service, mamshich elikuto yitbarach lemata, draws godliness down below, v'ad rabba, and in fact, לפיכך נברא אדם יחידי. That's why the Mishnah discusses that the animals were all created in herds, huge hosts of birds, of fish, of animals. But Adam and Eve, they were created originally just one person, then they were divided in two, but it's one compared with the thousands of fish and birds, millions. ללמדך שכל המקיים נפש אחת מישראל כאילו קיים עולם מלא. To tell you, to teach us, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, says in the note 20, that anyone who keeps alive one individual, it's as if he's kept alive an entire world. Haynu dezeh shadam harishon nivra yechidi, the fact that Adam is created as one person, adamel yechido shel olam, which means he's got a special connection with the oneness of the world, which is God, b'chinat yachid shalemayla b'chinat echad, the Yachid, the only one, which is higher than Echad, one. We say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is one, but even higher is Yachid. And Adam and Eve have this connection with Yechido Shel Olam, the oneness of the world. Biglal Nefesh Achat Yisrael is because there is this special quality that is then inherited by the Jewish people, that the Jewish people are in this intermediary position between the world and godliness, and then able every year to cause, to bring about this rejuvenation of life force in the world, and to reveal the kingship of God through the processes of Rosh Hashanah and the Tfilot and the blowing of the Shofar. And Be'ezrat Hashem, they should be able to draw down, and we should draw down, and should be revealed by God a year, mevorechet, a blessed year in every way, begashmiyot, physically, ubaruchniyot, and spiritually, a shana tova umetuka, for a year which is good and sweet for us and every Jew around the world, and through that, ultimately, goodness for all humanity. Amen.